Welcome back to this week's edition of the Midweek Reality Check with Michael Pinto, where I try to keep Wall Street and your money real.
Please do not misconstrue a rising oil price for a strong economy or one that will enjoy a soft landing. The crash landing is still firmly on the schedule. We have seen this movie before, and it is the story of a global financial crisis. The Great Recession began in December of 2007 and ended in June of 2009, according to the NBER. This most brutal economic meltdown since the Great Depression was clearly presaged by the inverted yield curve. An inverted yield curve is the most accurate indicator of a pending recession. It not only has a nearly perfect track record of predicting a recession, it actually leads to a recession because it chokes off bank lending, which is the fuel behind asset bubbles and GDP growth. The spread between the 2- and 10-year note inverted in December of 2005 and remained upside down for the most part until June of 2007. The normalization of the yield curve first began when the Fed aggressively started to cut rates in September of 2007. And yet, despite the start of the bear market in stocks, a faltering real estate market, a financial system that was failing, oil prices spiked by 15% during that very same period of yield curve inversion that I just mentioned. And oil continued to surge even after the Great Recession began. It finally topped out at $147 per barrel in the summer of 2008, a gain of 130% from the end of 2005 when the yield curve first inverted. This should all seem very similar to what is happening now. However, the major difference is the Fed began its rate cutting journey towards 0% even before the start of the Great Recession, as I said, in December of 2007. Whereas today, Powell is merely slowing the pace of rate hikes and promising much higher interest rates for a longer period of time. And most importantly, this latest yield curve inversion started in July of 2022, and it remains inverted today. The inversion has lasted 14 months and is upside down by a relatively steep 60 basis points. This is the longest and steepest inversion in 43 years. The point here is do not be misled into thinking the economy is fine. It is not. Indeed, the scenario today of an inverted yield curve, rising oil prices, stubbornly high inflation, a real estate bubble, and faltering economy rhymes perfectly with the situation leading up to the global financial meltdown. By the way, for those who want to chase rising energy prices and equities into a recession, remember that the energy sector ETF, XLE, lost 60% of its value from the summer of 2008 to the start of 2009. Just a few months, 6 months or less. 60%. That's how fast this rally is going to fade. And I just don't want to play in that game. I don't want to swim in those waters. It's just too dangerous because the recession is going to be that brutal and it's not that far away. And each week we get more clarity of the coming debacle. Credit card losses are rising at the fastest pace since the global financial crisis. And I find it very interesting that that's the case, given that GDP is supposedly growing at 5%, seasonally adjusted annualized rate. The default rate on consumer and corporate loans is set to soar once the recession starts. Credit card debt is at a record level, and the interest payments on that debt is now north of 24.5%. More evidence we got since the last time I spoke to you is the Index of Leading Economic Indicators, and that fell for the 17th month in a row for August. This is what the chief economist for the conference board who puts together the LEI had to say about the data. Quote, "With August's decline in the U.S. leading economic index, it has now fallen for nearly a year and a half straight, indicating the economy is heading into a challenging growth period and possible recession over the next year," close quote. Now, I am watching long-duration Treasury yields very closely. It is something that can flip my inflation, deflation, and economic cycle model from slightly positive equities, you know, still cautious, but slightly positive, to a scenario where we're taking on the four horsemen of the economic apocalypse, which is a strict allocation to cash, short-term U.S. debt, treasuries, U.S. dollar, and shorts. Remember, we sold all of our long-duration bonds a while back, about 2 months ago, before this major crash in bond prices started. Short-duration bonds have held up much better than long-term bonds. They provide a higher yield, short-duration bonds. They provide a higher yield and do not suffer the same dynamics as longer-dated bonds. And there are several factors putting upward pressure on the long end of the yield curve. There has been and continues to be a huge increase in supply issuance. Meanwhile, the Fed's QT is adding to the selling pressure. It would not surprise me if this backup in yields has a lot to do with QT, and the Fed might be ending that much sooner than most people think, just to provide some stability in the bond market. Because if this continues, it's going to lead to a debacle in the economy and in the stock market. And I'm watching it so assiduously, believe me. More reasons why there's upper pressure on the yield curve. Disinflation has turned into reflation for now. And GDP growth is officially accelerating to close to 5%. Again, that's just ridiculous, but that's going to change in Q4 in a big way. There's also China and Japan adding to the selling pressure as well. This is why we don't own the long end of the treasury curve. Japan and China don't own short-dated treasuries. They own longer-dated bonds. And they're also, their respective central banks, the BOJ and the PBOC, are selling their reserves to support the yuan and the yen, their currencies. Japan is the largest foreign holder of U.S. treasuries, and it's also forced to relax yield curve control in order to fight domestic inflation. Japan's CPI has been above the Bank of Japan's target for 17 months in a row. Rising rates in Japan simply means more competition for foreign ownership of U.S. treasuries. More reasons not to own TLT and for this latest spike in bond yields. According to Bill Gross, the former chief investment officer of PIMCO, 30% of the $26 trillion in publicly traded debt will need to be rolled over in the next 16 months. At the same time, the 2023 annual deficit is approaching $2 trillion. This is a peacetime deficit in an economy that's just supposedly growing. I expect a recession to bring deficits close to $4 trillion. Don't forget, the Fed will also be dumping $1.5 trillion of government debt on the market with its QT program. You know, it wasn't Powell's hawkish interest rate skip at his September FOMC meeting held on Wednesday, the 20th, that sent yields surging higher. It was for all the previous reasons I just mentioned. Nevertheless, the Fed head raised his guidance for GDP growth, raised his guidance for growth. This is the most clueless organization on the planet. And actually indicated that he's increasing the amount of time that he's projecting to have his higher for longer Fed funds rate. However, who really believes the Fed's predictive powers going out 1 or 2 years? I don't believe they understand what is happening right now. Clearly they don't. I mean, if anything has been proven correct when it comes to the Fed's models, it is that they can best be used as a contrary indicator. The equal weight S&P 500, which includes the big seven AI stocks, but doesn't overweight them due to their market cap, is now down on the year. And if you say, who cares about the equal weight S&P 500, because the regular S&P is up 11% year to date, I will then say, look at the performance of the SPY, the spiders, the S&P 500, since the time that Pento Portfolio Strategies became underweight equities in January of 2022. It's down 10% over the course of these 1.75 years. It's down 10%. Meanwhile, the average stock in the NYSE is down 30% during that time frame. Those facts are for any of those who still feel part of the fear of missing out crowd. There's nothing to really miss out on. It's been a disaster for the last almost 2 years, going on 2 years. And what needs to be underscored and highlighted is the drubbing that is being taken in treasury bonds. Long-term treasuries have offered no protection against a volatile equity market, as they usually do. They're usually a ballast against a volatile stock market. But it's the opposite this time. This asset class has been absolutely pummeled. The 20-year plus ETF, TLT, is down 50% since August of 2020. I mean, that's like a debacle of unmatched proportions in that period of time. We are very concerned about the stress on the economy and markets from rising energy prices and surging bond yields. Hence, Pento Portfolio Strategies is getting even more defensive. We sold our utility exposure today and bought more short-term bonds. This takes our allocation to high-yielding 5% plus short-term treasuries, close to 70% of the entire portfolio. However, we still find quiescence with credit spreads and financial conditions that continue to ease remarkably. That's a conflicting those are two conflicting indicators. Therefore, we still hold some exposure to physical gold, no miners yet, and a few defensive sectors. And needless to say, we are watching these positions very closely as well. If bond yields do not stabilize very soon, we stand ready to shed more longs and move closer to the four horsemen of the economic apocalypse. Keep in mind that September is usually a bad month for stocks, and the S&P is down over 6% this month so far. But the inflation, deflation, and economic cycle model still indicates that a year-end rally is probable given the rate of change of financial conditions, because they're improving. Can you believe that? They're improving. If that turns out indeed to be the case, it should provide a great opportunity to raise more cash at better levels as we prepare for the inevitable and inexorable chaos to arrive. Stay tuned.
Thank you so much for listening to this edition of the Reality Check, 5 minutes of sanity in an insane world. Please remember, if you're not already an investor with PPS, you can email me directly using mpento@pentoport.com or call the office using 732-772-9500 to get information about our portfolio services. You should also go to Amazon and order my book, The Coming Bond Market Collapse. Subscribers should contact an investment advisor before acting on any information contained in this podcast. No information on this podcast constitutes an offer to sell or buy any financial instruments or to provide any investment services. Subscribers understand there's an inherent risk in investing. PPS is a registered investment advisor.